Hi, my name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I'm excited to bring you today's webinar about collection agency websites and what they say about the agencies they represent. Collection agency websites serve a number of different purposes as a tool for accepting payments from individuals, as well as being used as a business development tool. And that can make it difficult to shoehorn all of that into one site. We're fortunate to have a panel of experts from within the collections industry who will share details about how their companies approach their website and discuss strategies that you can put into place to make your website more appealing and more productive. This webinar is being generously sponsored by Arbyte Software. You'll have the chance to hear more about them a little later in our program. I want to take a quick minute and say a few words about AccountsRecovery.net. AccountsRecovery.net is a news and information platform for the armed industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts webinars like this one, and offers a number of exciting podcasts for the armed industry. The site is free for anyone in the industry to use and is a great resource of news and insights to help educate and inform. I hope you all spend a few minutes every day checking out what it has to offer. Let me tell you now a little bit about our today's speakers. Julie Hughes is a senior product manager at True Accord. She works across teams to launch strategic product updates while maintaining a high level of compliance. During her time at True Accord, she has worked on many aspects of the product, from building enterprise integrations to managing payment processing. She currently oversees the consumer experience, which includes their interactions on the True Accord website. Chris Brothholtz is Chief Customer Officer for MRS BPO, a New Jersey-based, nationally recognized accounts receivable management firm, specializing in first-party servicing and third-party recoveries in a variety of verticals. He first started working in the contact center industry in 1994. He co-founded TPG Telemanagement, a contact center consulting firm. In 2004, he joined Zenta, an international BPO. And in 2001, after Accenture acquired Zenta, Chris joined IntelliSource as Senior Vice President of their call center outsourcing division, managing operations and customer service, collections, fraud management, and commercial sales. Chris joined MRS as Chief Operating Officer in 2014. And transitioned to his current role in 2016, where he is responsible for client services, sales and marketing, corporate development, and acquisitions. John Vigiano is the lead marketing and design executive for Simon's Agency. He's been there for the past 4 years. He's an all-around marketing professional with a great deal of experience in marketing, graphic design, website design, content management, search engine optimization, and more. Works directly with the sales team to execute Simon's overall marketing strategy, and works closely with Simon's brand as well as their online and traditional marketing presence. John has more than 15 years of experience in working within the armed industry. Thanks to Julie and John and Chris for speaking today. The format for today's webinar will be a discussion moderated by myself. We encourage everybody to submit questions and we'll get to them when the discussion has concluded. To submit a question, please type it into the question tab on your Zoom webinar control panel. Today's event is an audio only event. There is no video component, so if you're not seeing anything on your screens, you're not missing anything. Today's event is also being recorded, and a recording of this discussion will be made available in the coming days on accountsrecovery.net. And with the introductory remarks out of the way, let's launch into our discussion. Julie, we'll give you the honor of the first question. Let's start sort of high level before we drill down. What are the core components that any collection agency should have on its website?
Sure, I can kick us off here. Hi, everyone. I think there are five core components for collection agency websites. First and foremost, there should be a lot of relevant information about who the collection agency is and how to get in contact with them. You want people to be able to contact you, ask questions, whether that's chat, email, phone, etc. Second, there should be plenty of information about the consumer's debt and explain to them in a way that makes sense. For example, if your agency isn't the first person to be collecting on the debt, it's always helpful to explain the trail of where that debt has gone through. Third, you obviously want to have a way to pay off the debt. So various options are always very helpful for the consumer, whether that's settling, paying in full, offering payment plans. And if the consumer doesn't think that they owe the debt and they want to dispute for a variety of reasons, I think it's really important to have a way to dispute that debt and make that very apparent on the website. And of course, last but not least, all the legal requirements, such as your terms and conditions, privacy policy, legal disclosures. And one thing to note on that is at TrueCord, we really try hard to write them in plain English and in a way that our consumers can understand them. And so it's not too, you know, much in legalese, and we want them to be really clear so that they understand what their situation is and what their rights are, et cetera.
I think that's a very concise list. This is John from Simon's agency. The only thing I would add to that is a clear navigation. All those pieces of content are excellent and what you need to have. So you just want to make sure that the people visiting your website can find it quickly and easily.
And Mike, I would add, we just redid our website, so the timing on this is pretty good for us. And we had a fairly plain vanilla website for a long time. And so in redesigning it, we spent a lot of time thinking about what do we really want to represent on the site. And it was very clear to us that our culture is a big important part of what makes MRS what we are and how we do things. And it really kind of struck us, like when we have prospective clients and clients visit us at our headquarters, and they would remark, like, you know, wow, you have such an amazing culture here. I didn't realize that. So we really wanted culture to be the central theme of the new website. And then once we decided that was the direction that we wanted to go, we took a similar approach to what TrueCord did, although we really boiled it down to three things. Three audiences that were going to come to our website were going to be anybody who was potentially going to work for MRS, anybody who might potentially want to do business as a client with MRS, and then anybody who may have gotten a collection letter from us or a call and wants to know who MRS is and potentially wants to pay their debt to MRS. And so our portal is really divided into those three areas, and then it allows each of the audience, you know, that specific audience to navigate through. And we tied the culture to each piece of that because the culture is important for people who want to work here. We wanted to show them what it was like to work at MRS, and prospective clients, we wanted them to see what it was like to do business with us. And then, of course, for anybody who may have maybe referred to us and is, you know, we're holding an account of theirs, we wanted to demonstrate that we're a very professional organization that's going to treat them properly.
So, Chris, I think that's, you know, that's a great start. Chris, I just want to follow up for a quick second. So you've got three different sort of components, people who want to work for MRS, people who want to do business with MRS, and people who may have a debt that's being, you know, collected on by MRS. So do you treat your homepage sort of as a landing page, you know, and they can sort of, it's almost like sort of a three-pronged fork in the road, and they can go to sort of one of three different websites? Or do you really sort of try and keep that same sort of website theme running through all three sort of different portions of the site?
The theme is the same. So what we've done is when you go to mrsbpo.com, you have three choices. And they're the three choices that I just articulated: work, do business with, or pay a debt with MRS. And you can choose to go to either one of them. The theme stays the same. It's all one website, and it's just, they're all within subdomains of one another, but the theme and the look and the feel of it are the same throughout.
Got it, thanks. John, with respect to what you were talking about with having a clear navigation, can you give me an example or an idea of how, you know, what that looks like, or how that's supposed to, you know, how the consumer is supposed to sort of see that when they come to the site?
Sure. You know, in contrast to what Chris was saying, we actually run two separate websites, one for consumers or debtors and one for our prospects, potential people looking for a website, and potential employees. So the first thing that we do, obviously we direct our debtors to the specific website that we want them to in their letters. But a lot of times, you know, you're just going to get people Googling or looking you up or finding you from a phone number or their credit report. So, you know, the first thing that we really had to learn and really develop a way for was to get our consumers to go to the payment portal end of the website, to be able to contact the right people as far as paying a debt. So navigation-wise, our homepage really became a landing page for that. And we really stressed the payment part of it. So the debtors come to the website, because that's the majority of the people we get. are going to get directed to the right place. So on top of having, you know, your standard menu on top, we have large notices right on the homepage to be able to pay off a debt, talk to an agent, or begin the process of prospecting with us.
Yeah, we do something similar at TrueAccord. Our TrueAccord.com marketing homepage, whatever you want to call it, is more geared towards our creditors that we work with. And then we direct our consumers to a different website from our various communication channels. So the navigation is definitely geared towards each of those respective customers of ours.
Julie, do you maintain separate sites like what Chris and John were talking about from a payment sort of portal perspective versus a business development perspective, or is that all on one site with TrueAccord?
We have separate sites. Our marketing page, TrueAccord.com, is definitely more focused on the like client and business leads. But if consumers do Google us, that's where they're going to end up. And so we want to make sure that we're making sure that both types of customers can get the right information that they need. And we're in the process of transitioning a little bit more focus towards the consumer when it comes to that homepage. When they're Googling, trying to figure out who TrueAccord is, we want to make sure that when consumers search for us, they can get all the information that they're looking for to know that they can trust us. We're legitimate. But on our main page, there is a login option for current customers to log into their portal.
Excellent, thanks. At this point, I just want to pause the discussion for a moment and say a few words about today's webinar sponsor, Arbyte Software. Arbyte Software is a team of nerds who constantly innovate and perfect the most efficient and productive cloud-based contact software for businesses of any size. Company specializes in agencies with high output call volume, and they've created the only TCPA compliant manually guided solution that removes the 3-second pause from calls and adds 3 levels of human intervention. In addition, the company's highly customized VoIP office phone system can revolutionize the way your business communicates with the world. The software won't drop calls, never lags, and is designed to maximize calls per minute operating on its own tier 1 carriers. So thanks, Arbyte, for sponsoring today's webinar and your gracious support of an endeavor that seeks to educate and inform the Army industry. For more information about the company, please go to www.arbytesoftware.com. So let's pick up our discussion. One question I had, and John, we'll let you take this first. Websites are often the first place, and Chris mentioned this, websites are often the first place that people go if they receive a collection letter or a phone call from a company. What kind of message do you want your site to send to those people who are having sort of their first experience with Simons and maybe a little unsure or not really kind of clear on what's going on or why they're being contacted?
Sure. As far as the consumers go and the debtors, again, we try to direct them towards our secondary website, paysimons.com, where they can actually pay their bills. If they Google us and come to the simonsagency.com website first, we kind of talked about how we direct them to move over to the PaySimons site. On the PaySimons site, we go much more kind of earth tone and softer with our presentation. So we want it to be kind of a calming experience and really give it just a lighter feel. But the biggest thing we want to do is drive payments. We certainly want to allow people to make complaints or dispute their bills. But, the number one thing you want to do is get your bill paid. So the first thing we really want to do is kind of overload them with that this is what you're coming to. The site is about paying for a bill and kind of describing what the process is and, how you go about rectifying the situation. So I think, as far as design goes, the color scheme, the softness of it, I think helps kind of calm the consumers that come to the site. So it's not, this fist pumping, in your face kind of experience. From the prospecting side, when they come into the Simons Agency website, I think it helps to show that we're consumer driven so that, you know, the first notices you see are trying to direct consumers over to the pay site and to the portal. And then once you get through that, we're trying to welcome the prospects in and send them on a journey of the education that they're looking for. So depending on what page they come into, I mean, you got to figure the majority of people are coming into your homepage, but we also have separate pages for the types of debt that we collect. So, you know, in the search engine optimization world, and when you're Googling it, if you get people coming in directly, say, to your, you know, healthcare collections website, you want to really direct the message towards the people that are looking at the website. So you want to address who they are and where they're coming from. So that's kind of the way that we break it down as far as consumers is kind of one set, and then there's several sets within the prospecting side.
On the topic of sort of creating a calm vibe or a soft vibe, but still trying to get people to make a payment, how do you kind of go about accomplishing that? Is it all just about colors, or is it images? Is it video? Is it, you know,
sure,
what kind of the copy that you're using? Can you talk a little bit about how you try and sort of manage what seems to be kind of a diverging message?
Absolutely. You know, on the PaySimon site, really we use earth tones. I use a lot of blue, a lot of green. I use a white background compared to a darker black or gray background in our prospecting website. And we use a lot of photography. We try to show happy faces, diverse faces, so people from all ilks of life. So that anybody coming to the site can kind of at least subconsciously relate to somebody that's already on the site. You know, I think we all know as collection professionals that everybody has debt. I'm sure everybody has had a collection account. I've had collection accounts. And you really want to make people feel like they're not the bad guy, that this is just a fact of life. And, you know, we're going to get through this and be helpful with you. And I think that's kind of the message that we try to portray on our payment portal.
This is Julie from TrueAccord. I definitely agree with all those things. But I think we take it in a slightly different approach. We don't use a lot of visuals, photography. For us, we try to keep our design very clean and simple and focus more on the content and the messaging that we're getting across and how we make our consumers feel with being very transparent. So, you really want to build that sense of trust with your website. And by doing that, you know, you want to look and sound professional. Make it sound like you're partnering with them to help them manage their debt, and also make the customer feel like they're the ones in control. And you do that by offering a lot of options and flexibility. When they first visit your site, it's really important to come across as not having them feel like they're being forced into a situation that makes their situation worse by having to pay off something that they can't afford right now, and really making it seem like you're partnering with them and to choose a resolution path that works for them.
And Mike, we took the old stock photos off. Our old site had stock photography on it, and we took the approach that we didn't want anything fake looking like stock photos often look. So we came up with just a site without really any photos. We use illustrations. We use a graphic design, and it's a little bit whimsical. We definitely took the same approach John did with the colors. We chose a color scheme that was extremely pleasant to look at, and we've got illustrations that are interesting looking, and we married that with the concepts that were really important to us, which, if you're a potential employee, you're going to see that we invest in you, that we have an extensive training program, that we have long tenured employees. You're going to read about our employee appreciation programs and the things we do for our employees. If you're a prospective customer, you're going to read about how compliance is a strategy at MRS and how we take customer experience very, very seriously. And it's not going to be an adversarial conversation. If we speak with you on the phone, we're going to make this as pleasant as any kind of a debt resolution conversation can. And that's kind of the thread of what the website, of how it looks with the illustrations and with all the graphics.
Good very interesting. It seems to have some sort of different approaches to trying to accomplish the same goal, which I think is a great discussion piece. So I'm really happy we're having this discussion today. Julie, going back to what you were talking about, sort of focusing more on content, can you expand a little bit about what type of content that is? Is it all about sort of educating about a specific debt or educating about debt in general? How does that kind of work?
Yeah, we try to focus on, when the consumer logs into their portal, we try to focus on the information that's relevant to them. So information about their balance details, very clean, visible place to see their options, whether that's paying in full, signing up for payment plans, or creating a custom plan that works for them, something that we haven't offered. We have FAQs available, places to dispute the debt. So just a lot of information that they might be clicking on, looking for, just to understand what their situation is and what their what their options are. So we do a really clean, like flat design, and try to avoid things like too many images or photos that might clutter the page. I'm not saying that you can't have images and photos and it's always clutter, but for us, we try to keep it very like simple.
Excellent, thanks. John, you said that you maintain two separate websites, one for your consumer facing side, one for more your business development facing side. I'd like to maybe delve into a little bit about sort of your reasoning why you think it works better to have two separate websites versus trying to manage it all on one.
Certainly, some of it is technology driven. I mean, our assignments agency website for prospecting, that information comes in and goes through a separate funnel than the information coming into the pay side. So that in itself was kind of the starting point of that. The other thing that was happening is, when people were contacting us through the website before we really went strong with the pay side, we were getting a lot of cross-stream of information. So somebody would have to really look at everything coming in and split it up into two different directions. And now, for the most part, that kind of happens automatically by sending people to two different websites. I also personally wanted to have different themes for the websites. I liked having a separation. There's certainly an argument to be made for keeping the themes the same, the structure the same within the site. For us, it just kind of worked better to really maintain two different looks and feels for the size of business that we're attracting.
Is it harder to manage two sites? Like, is it twice as much work than if you were managing one site with sort of two different themes? Or do you think it's sort of by compartmentalizing everything, does it sort of make it easier for you at the end of the day to kind of keep sites updated because sort of each site has its own sort of look and feel?
Sure. That can go either way. It depends how big your team is. As far as my team goes, I have a small team. So I spend a lot of time on the marketing side of it. The payment portal side of it really kind of stays more static. We don't have like a lot of revolving content there. We really drive the content on the prospect side for blogs and videos and things mm-hmm. of that nature. The pay side really is a portal. It's a place to get the consumers to come in, answer their questions. I agree with not overloading with too much on a page. And we'll probably get into that a little bit later with loading times and some of the SEO stuff. But for us, it was really just trying to drive those people into two different directions, and we have separate teams that deal with them. So in doing that, it really did allow us to kind of curtail the time it takes to put things where they needed to go into the right buckets. From a maintenance side, it is a little bit more work, but again, we really put the concentration towards the prospecting side of the website once the Pay Simons website was really performing up to the level we wanted it to.
That's interesting. At TrueAccord, we're actually the opposite. We of course spend time doing blogs and updating content for our lead generation, but we spend as a company much more time iterating on and improving our consumer experience. And a lot of that is actually around experimentation, which I think we'll get into later in the webinar. But yeah, we're the opposite of you guys, which is very interesting.
Certainly.
Well, that might have something to do, Julie, with the fact that, you know, so much of TrueAccord's business is funneled through people making payments online, right? I mean, there's a very small percentage of payments that are being made, you know, via like a phone conversation or communications outside of the website, right?
That's very true. Most of our interaction with our consumers is all digital, whether that's through emails that link them to our website. Most of our consumers do not actually contact an actual agent. So we're always keeping our website up to date and running experiments and really trying to optimize that experience for them.
I think that's a really interesting and appropriate point too, because the majority of our payments actually come through phone calls and through people talking. And I think that has to probably do with your demographic more than anything. And you know, the reality of it is that as consumers age and millennials get older, you know, we are going to have to transition more to doing more digitally and online and utilizing some of those technologies. So I think that's a really great point.
When we redesigned our site, it was important to us that we take all of the elements of our multi-channel strategy and incorporate them into our site, because we are, you know, we're a traditional call center collections agency, but we've also been very progressive in using digital strategies. So we've got a chat team so that when you go to the website, you might go to the website for any number of reasons, but you will have a chat box pop up and one of our digital agents will ask if they can help you. And we do drive people to the website on our letters, through emails that we send, and even when agents are speaking with customers, we do provide the website information. So given that that's our overlying strategy, we really wanted a very holistic website that was really represented every single type of audience that potentially could be looking at MRS. We wanted them to see what we are, who we are, how we do it, and we wanted it all to tie together, which is why we have that one landing portal, and then you can sort of go in three different directions based on what your interest is.
Chris and John, I'm curious, are you trying to drive more payments through the website, or is the website there right now just for people who want to make a payment?
Absolutely.
Online?
Yeah, absolutely. We know very well that there's a lot of people out there that do not want to speak to a collection agent. And we have found that when we started doing things like sending email and offering chat, we were reaching customers that we called on cell phones and landlines and sent snail mail to that never responded to us, and they got an email and they went to the website and they paid. And so it wasn't a matter of an unwillingness to pay a debt. It was they just did not want to speak to a collection agent. So we know that. We know the millennial generation is moving more in that direction. And I'm certainly much older than a millennial, but I prefer to deal with things online versus having to speak to somebody in just about any area, because it's just easier. So, yeah, we've made a conscious effort to meet our customers where they want to be met. If they want to speak to somebody, great. We have a call center full of people they can talk to. If they want to go online and set up an arrangement, they can do that. They can chat with somebody if they want. We want to be able to service everybody out there within the medium and with the method that they want to be serviced.
I very much agree with that. We just find that for our demographic currently, we do a lot more phone-wise. But we really do try to direct everybody towards the Paid Simons website. You know, it just takes less time to work people through that if that's where they want to go. So I see that changing on our end, and we've already, you know, started doing that. So I do agree that that's the direction everything's going, and it just makes sense to push people towards your site.
John, on paysimons.com, do you have a lot of sort of general information about debt, you know, how it pertains to credit, you know, how to repair your credit score, things like that? Do you try to provide that level of education on your website?
Yeah, we kind of toned down the content so that it's not overwhelming, but we do have an FAQ section. We talk about, you know, what Simons is and how we can help you. And we do run through a lot of those questions. Our biggest thing is to try to drive payments, but we also want to give consumers the ability to learn more about, you know, exactly what, how the process works and why we might be appearing on their credit report or why they've gotten a letter from us. And we definitely want to give them the opportunity to contact us in the ways that they want to. Again, for us, for whatever reason, you know, the phone is very important. A lot of people call us, but we are starting to see that that we're getting more contact via email or people wanting to chat in those channels. So that's kind of how we go about it.
One thing I noticed in looking at your website, John, especially the FaceSimons one, is you've got testimonials from consumers on the site. Do you rotate those? How do you know? Is that something that you found has helped drive more payments?
I'm not sure if it's helped drive more payments specifically, but I think it helps with consumers being a little more comfortable in contacting us in whatever manner they do. I think it is important to showcase that we're here to help people. You know, that's the way that the collection industry is going, obviously. And, you know, it's more of a helping hand and a guiding hand than it is a terrible experience. We really want to try to illustrate that for consumers first time coming to the site. So.
And Mike, one of the things that we were very conscious of when we were redesigning the site, and it's why we have various testimonials, is that we have testimonials for potential paying customers to see others, and we have client testimonials, and we put them there because we wanted everybody, all of the three different audience types, we wanted them to see how we treat others. So if I'm a potential client of MRS, I might be interested in seeing how do you treat paying customers, or what does it look like for a potential debtor to go on your website, and is it easy to use? And if I'm a potential employee, how do I treat people, and how easy do I make it for others to deal with me? So that was part of our reason for making it one website. And having those different testimonials allows the different audiences to see how other audiences would be treated. So it allows a potential customer to see how we treat a debtor customer, and a potential employee to see how we approach our clients and vice versa. And we thought that combining the site into one was an effective way to illustrate that.
I'll also add that I think, you know, customer testimonials are very valuable and powerful, but one thing that we really are proud of is the reviews that we get on other websites, such as, you know, the Better Business Bureau, Glassdoor, which has employee reviews, as well as Google reviews. So when somebody is searching us on Google, we actually have a 4.6 out of 5-star rating. And so that's something that people are going to see, you know, immediately when they search for us. So before they even get to our website and you know, learn about who we are and get to any customer testimonials, they're really seeing these unbiased ratings that, you know, we don't have the ability to pick and choose and sift through what we show on the website, which is something that you can obviously do with testimonials. So something to make sure that you're looking out for. And we're pretty proud of the reviews that we have.
Chris, whereas it looks like, you know, the Simons Agency website puts a lot of information out front, you know, for people to see before they do anything. And it looks like, you know, when people go to the payment portal side on the MRS side, it looks they have to log in first. And I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit about the decision to kind of make people do that before really sort of providing them with any other information.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because that's the last thing that we're changing on the website. I'm actually adding a landing page before the login to provide a little bit softer landing for customers. That's like one of the last things that we have to edit, because we made that same observation that you just did, Mike, that there should be something in between the portal and the payment portal.
Sorry, I didn't mean to spoil the surprise.
No, it's okay. Trying to slide that one under the radar, but we didn't. You nailed me.
we've briefly talked about online chat, and I'm curious to hear from the three of you, you know, how you offer it, if you offer it, like, you know, how it works, and talk a little bit about, you know, any success or issues that you've had with it, and maybe Julie, you can take that one first.
Sure. I think it really depends on the agency's support model. And a big question that you have to ask with chat is it going to be staffed by real agents? Do you have the agent support for that? Or are you going to leverage more technology and have you know, chat bots that you start out with to really hone in on questions and then pass the chat off to, you know, more of a ticketing queue for an agent to reach out to? For us, it's something that TrueAccord has considered, but we actually haven't implemented chat yet. If we do, it'll be something that we experiment with and you know, test it with a small number of agents who are trained on chat and a small number of consumers that would have it available. Really interesting is we recently did a usability study on a new customer experience that we're designing, and unsolicited, 2 out of the 5 people we tested with said that they would have liked the option to chat with someone during that experience. So that was kind of an aha moment for us, where we didn't even, you know, mention chat, but 2 people wanted it out of the 5.
Yeah, and Mike, we've been at MRS, we've been using chat for about most of this year, most of 2018. We've been live. We tested it with a couple of clients, and we've rolled it out. What we've done is we build a chatbot. Our software development team built something and incorporated it into our collection system. And we started it with a couple of agents, put it under the guidance of our QA department. We wanted to make sure that that we could do it with the type of customer experience and QA that we require out of an agent on the phone. And we put some agents on it who understand how to negotiate and how to have a correct payment hierarchy conversation with a customer. And it's been incredibly successful, and we've gotten great feedback from customers. You know, like Julie experienced, we have received email and messages from customers saying, "I am so glad you have this chat function. I didn't want to talk to anybody." So we are actively, we're very actively using it. We mention it. Like I said earlier, when you go to our website, it will pop up. The chat box will pop up. And we reference it on letters that there's a variety of digital means you can contact us. And people are taking advantage of it. And again, it goes back to my earlier comments that there's a pretty big swath of people out there today that do not want to speak to somebody, especially a collection agent, because, you know, we all know that in their mind, a collection agent of old is what they think they're going to get today, and it's going to be someone that's going to harass them and threaten them and be hard to talk to. And even though that may not really be the case anymore, that still is somewhat of the perception. And they want to go online, and they want to chat. And I know as a customer, if I have a customer service question or issue, I always go to the website and look for a chat option first. I mean, that is absolutely unequivocally my first order of business. And we're finding that our debtor customers are the same way, and they are responding very well to our chat function.
Are you able to manage the whole transaction end to end through payment on chat? Or is there a stop?
Nope. End to end. We can do everything end to end. They can have the first conversation all the way up to setting up a payment arrangement and finalizing it with a chat agent without ever having to speak to an agent on the phone.
That's great.
Have you found any compliance issues with that, or any complaints from the consumers as far as, you know, their information being, you know, viewable or anything like that?
No, not at all. The agents are, the chat agents are former phone call center agents. So they are fully compliant. Every chat is recorded. So we have a digital record of every single thing that happened. It goes through the same QA that our phone calls go through. And you know, some of the stuff we've built in as drop-down boxes. So the mini Miranda, any of the compliance functions where you have a point of failure with an agent potentially saying something wrong or not saying it, we've built that in as an automated function, so that gets covered right away. And no, the feedback has been just positive that they can deal with the issue without having to speak to somebody. Because at any given time in the middle of a chat, they could speak to an agent if they want to. And that is not the direction that our chat sessions have gone.
That's great. I mean, we're kind of in between. We're a little gun shy on the consumer end and the debtor end. We do utilize chat from a marketing perspective. We've set it up so that anybody in our CRM, whether they're a prospect or a client, will get a chat box that pops up automatically and talk to their rep. So we found that to be a good and encouraging thing on the marketing side of things. So I think it's a natural progression to bring that over to the debtor side. So I'm encouraged by your findings so far.
Excellent. I love it when the other panelists ask questions of one another. Curious about, you know, what how you're analyzing, if you're analyzing at all, the traffic that comes into your website, and, you know, if you're using that data to update or change how your site is designed. John, you want to try that one first?
Sure. I could speak more from the marketing end of it than probably the consumer end. Search is really changing, and it's been kind of a big year for the Google algorithm change and the way we do SEO. So we're kind of changing the way we actually look and analyze our site. I mean, everything was very keyword driven for years and years, and now it's more driven towards a total response in driving up your domain relevancy and the authority that it has. So, one of the things that we've stopped doing is kind of tracking the keywords. I mean, it's still a good metric for us, but one of the pushes we've made is geographically. We wanted to kind of expand, into certain places where we haven't been as noticeable online. So that's really the biggest thing I've done in the last, say, 6 to 12 months is looking at geographically how we can improve and, where those leads may come from. And, we've had some surprises along the way. So, we try to utilize what we've done for a specific state, say, or a specific type of business we're looking to get. We do different pages set up for that. So it's almost like an A-B test in how you score what one page one way or another page another, but you're trying to get the same kind of prospects. So we kind of take the good and the bad, put them together, and try to, duplicate the success. Or if it doesn't work, to move on to a different direction. The other side of that, too, is qualified leads. So, traditionally in our local area, we may get a lot of mom and pops that are finding us, and that's not the type of business we're looking for. So I'm trying to get better qualified leads. So that's another metric we use.
I can touch on the tracking of the metrics on our website that our consumers are using. So at TrueAccord, we do a lot of internal tracking on metrics such as, email open rates, click rates, how people are interacting with our pages. We use a lot of machine learning. And so as we understand how our consumers are interacting with our site, whether that's on our emails, what they're clicking on, what they're doing online, what payment offers they're looking at, we can automatically adjust our strategy and our communications based on that behavior. So for us, tracking what the consumer is doing is really key to us being able to scale and use technology to get solutions out there to people as we're learning what their needs are and what their interests are. We just like any other startup, we use a lot of tools that are available to help us measure how people are interacting with the website and how we can improve. Some of those examples are Google Analytics, Mixpanel, Looker. Those three are more like analytics BI tools. And we also have one that's really great called Full Story, which we can watch how people are interacting with our product in sessions. And based on what we see using all these internal and external tools and our machine learning, we do make a lot of adjustments to the experience, and whether that's fixing bugs, running experiments, adding new content, understanding where people are having trouble, and tweaking user flows, et cetera. So to us, data and tracking is very key to our success in being able to scale.
We previously, on our old website, we didn't do a lot of tracking because we really didn't feel like we had much of an experience that the customer would want to spend a lot of time reading through, or we didn't really feel like we were offering a whole lot. So we've done a lot of analytics on all the digital strategies like emailing and texting, but now with the new site, we've got Google Analytics set up, and we do plan to do a great deal of tracking of user experience, of understanding where they go, how often they go there, and what route they take to get to the end point in the site. So that's something that's going to be relatively new to us at MRS, but it's something we're very keen to better understand now that we feel like we have a site that really provides a good indication of who we are and how we do things.
That's great. I can guarantee you'll get a lot of insights and surprises once you have that kind of tracking set up. So
I don't have any doubt about it. You know, we're very excited. We feel like we finally have a site we're proud of, and we want to drive people to. So now we can finally learn some more things about the user's intent.
That's great.
Chris, I was on a webinar, I want to say this is maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, about sort of websites in the ARM industry. And I can remember one of the panelists saying that, you know, if you call up your collection agency website on your smartphone, and if you can't navigate it with one hand, like if you need both hands to navigate it, then you've got a problem. And I remember at the time, sort of not even, you know, people were sort of blown away that hadn't even thought about this. And I'm curious to sort of use that as an entry point to talk about, you know, with your new site, how concerned were you, or how much did you think about how the experience is going to be if someone was using their smartphone to come to your website, and how that factored into the design of the site?
That was very important to us. So when we began the process, we talked to a bunch of different organizations that specialize in web design and SEO, and so we brought some people in, and the company that we hired had a great deal of familiarity and expertise with this, and their recommendation, and we wanted this, and they were right on board. They said it has to be mobile optimized. It's got to be something that someone can easily navigate on a smartphone, on an iPad, on a tablet, and the way that you do that is you do not put a lot of links. Everything scrolls. So that is the way our site was designed, so that if you go to our landing page and you choose do business with MRS, you're going to then be taken to that first page with all the client-facing information, and there's a great deal of information that you can scroll down through, and we've limited the number of links because then the links, they take longer to load. If you're in an area where if you're not in Wi-Fi, or you have an area where you don't have a great data connection, it's a really bad user experience. And so same thing with our payment portal. So we went into it fully committed to having a 100% mobile optimized website.
Yeah, for TrueAccord, we take mobile version of our website very seriously. More than 70% of our traffic comes from mobile. And so when we're designing new experiences, we do mobile first design. So what that means is our designers, you know, do mock-ups and prototypes all with mobile in mind. And so when you're doing that, you have to make sure that, you know, those links aren't buried at the end of the page where people are scrolling forever to get to some call to action. You need to have easy to navigate, design that uses, patterns that they're familiar with on mobile. For us, we like to make sure that our pages are clean and concise, and we don't have too much content on one page. And so that's where the navigation really comes into play, to make sure that they're getting what they need easily without being overwhelmed on any one page. So given that 70% of our traffic is mobile, it's a high priority for us.
Sure.
We don't have as much mobile traffic as Julie, but on the consumer side, we probably get pretty close to that. On the marketing side, though, we do have most of our traffic still desktop. But it is extremely important to have a responsive website, and it responsive in a way that it looks great on all devices, you know, no matter what kind of phone you have or what kind of pad you're using or desktop. And Google's changes here with their algorithm really puts the speed of downloading that website and presenting it quickly very, very important. So there's a lot of people that lost ranking in, you know, the last few months because they don't have a very responsive mobile site, or because it loads very slowly, or they don't have one at all. So at this point, it's really a must. And especially the way the consumers are going, Julie's 70% number is only going to get bigger and bigger as we move forward.
Definitely.
We've only got a few minutes left, and there are some questions in the queue that I want to get to. So if you're listening and you want to ask your question, now would be the time to start typing it in and send it to us. But one thing I wanted to tackle before we got to those, I know I've had a number of conversations with people from True Accord. I think Julie and I have talked about this on previous webinars, but the level of experimentation that True Accord goes into with its website and how that sort of drives the updates. I'd like maybe you could spend a minute or two talking about how that works and what you're testing and how those test results ultimately impact, you know, the website experience for users.
Yeah, definitely. We always have, you know, at least a dozen or so experiments going on at one time. Like I said, we're very digital focused. So we do a lot of A/B or multivariation tests. We always go into our experiments having a hypothesis on what metric we want to see movement on, whether that's, you know, open rate on an email, increased click rate, commitment rates for payment plans, et cetera. And so we're really focused on those metrics that we define early on before we even launch the experiment. So for example, if we're testing a new wording on a link, which is pretty straightforward and easy to test, we would want to measure the click rate of that link versus the control, which is what's existing now, and then any subsequent action taken from that link. It's always good practice to keep an eye on any metrics that are further down the funnel, such as, you know, commitment rates, liquidation rates, but that usually requires more time for the experiment to run. You asked about examples of experiments. We do a lot of, you know, easy things like changing copy either in emails or on the website, all the way to changing, you know, main user flows for customers. And so it really just depends on the resourcing we have and how much bandwidth we can put into these big changes versus doing a lot of small changes. But of course, when you're experimenting, you want to make sure that you always have a control to measure against, to make sure that what you're doing is actually moving the needle, and you're able to measure that instead of just go with intuition.
Excellent. Thank you. Let's get to some of these questions from the audience. Are there any compliance laws regarding the content displayed on a website? Does anyone want to tackle that one?
I can start with that one. It's very important to make sure that you're complying with anything related to the FDCPA. Nothing can be misleading, of course. I think it's really key to make sure that you have legal at your side the whole time when you're coming up with new content and new experiences for consumers. You don't want to put too much work into designing an experience or coming up with copy for a page, and then you show it to legal and they're like, nope, you can't say any of this. So I always advise to have your legal team along the journey with you, and make sure that when you're giving advice or whatnot, that it's more geared towards the general population and you're not providing legal advice that's specific to any one consumer, because that could be misconstrued or misleading.
I couldn't agree any more with that. I've had plenty of responses and blog posts shut down by our legal department, and you got to run it through them, because Julie's right. The minute you start giving advice, they'll turn it right around and use it against you in a lot of cases. So you have to be very careful with that.
Here's a question. is there a company or something online that can help design or modify the demand letter in a way that will be easy for consumers to go to my website and make their payments? That's just including a link in the demand letter itself with where you want people to go, right? Or am I misreading that question?
That's how I would answer it, but maybe there's more to that question.
If there is, whoever asked it can certainly type in some additional questions if they have it. Here's a question that I had on my list that I wanted to ask. Do you provide consumers and clients with a survey to assess their experience with your company, especially when they're interacting with you online?
We do. At MRS, we do that periodically, not through the website, but we do periodically do client satisfaction surveys.
We
do the same at Simon's through email.
Yeah, we have a feedback form online. So whenever somebody pays us, we pop up a payment form. It's not required. But, you know, we have a 1 through 5 star rating they can give and then any additional comments. And, you know, I as the product manager, see those every single day when I start my morning. So it's really nice for me to get a, you know, handle and insight into what people are thinking about our product as they're going through the experience.
Yeah, we have a similar function where the customers can provide feedback. And we actually, we found we get feedback from customers that have spoken to an agent on the phone and then go to the website to provide positive feedback about the interaction. So they weren't even on the website, but after positive interaction on the phone, they find the website to get that information to us.
We've seen the same thing.
We have too, actually. We've actually gotten handwritten letters with checks sometimes, calling out, yep, you know, specific callers. So it's a neat thing for the staff.
Wow. We have done periodic surveys out to customers. So we do have the feedback form online, but we've sent out more extensive surveys, which gives us a lot of insight.
One question, and we haven't talked of this, and we don't have a lot of time, so we would talk about it briefly. Do any of you offer your clients like a specific login or access, you know, on their own to their portal? And if you do that, have your clients found this option useful?
At Simon's Agency, we do offer a client portal for reporting and for communication. We find that through our resources side on our website. So we do that standard, and it really has a lot to do with reporting, taking a look at, you know, what's being worked and what's doing well, and then also reporting direct payments.
Same with TrueAccord. We give our clients a login portal where they can look up accounts, you know, activity that's happened on each account. They can provide us with media or any information regarding disputes. We try to provide our clients with as much information as we can.
Excellent. Well, we've just about run out of time, but what I'd like to ask each of the panelists to do before we let everybody go is maybe take a minute and either summarize, you know, the most important takeaway or any additional perspective that they want to share that maybe they didn't get the chance to during the first part of the webinar. Just sort of offer some parting remarks. And Chris, we'll start with you.
Okay. Well, thank you for asking me to participate. I've enjoyed this. Hopefully it's been interesting. And I would just summarize that I think it's really important for, if an agency really wants to distinguish themselves, the website's a great place to start. When I began this process, I looked at a lot of our competitors' websites, and I'm not going to shock anybody by telling you there's a lot of really boring collection agency website out there, and we were one of them for a long time, and we just made a decision that we didn't want to be that anymore. We wanted a site that really said something about us, that made us stand out and really identify what we're about, and we feel that our new site has done that. So that's the most important thing that I'd like to articulate, is that I think your site really should represent who you are and what you stand for.
Excellent. Thanks. John?
I really agree with Chris 100%. Your website is your window to the world. It's the first thing that people are going to see for the most part. I mean, outside of receiving a letter perhaps, or some marketing collateral, it's the first thing people are going to see about you. And we're at a time where you have to be up to snuff with it, or I think people are going to pass you right by. So it's really an important thing. I don't think it's something you need to be intimidated by. There are a lot of great firms out there that can really help you and get you into order. And it's just something you got to stay on top of. But it's a huge part of what we do now. So don't forget it.
Yeah, for us at True Accord, our website and digital experience is very key for us. We put a ton of focus on our consumer and making sure that they're comfortable with the experience and have all the information they need. We're always updating our design and experimenting so that we can make the best experience possible for our consumers online. Because like somebody said earlier, a lot of people don't like calling in and talking to somebody. So if we can get them through, you know, end-to-end experience in a self-serve manner, in a way that's delightful, then that's something that we're really proud of.
Excellent. I appreciate it. Before I let everybody go, I want to thank one last time Julie, Chris, and John for their insight today. This webinar clearly would not have been possible without their participation, and I really am grateful for the time they took to share their thoughts. I also wanted to thank Arbyte Software one last time for sponsoring today's webinar. Please go to www.arbytesoftware.com to learn more about the company. Thanks to everybody who listened and everybody else who asked questions and participated. Please stay tuned to accountsrecovery.net for news and more webinars in the very near future. A recording of this event will be posted to the site in the next couple of days. And lastly, I hope everyone enjoys the rest of your day. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.